Thanks for tuning in. This is Building the Movie List, where we go through IMDb's top 250 movies and try and come up with our list of 100 greatest movies of all time. This week, we are doing It's a Wonderful Life, and I'm joined by Matthew Molina.
Hee-haw.
That was the perfect response.
I thought it was the only one.
I was trying to think of what you could come up with. And Tim Smith.
Hello.
And Julia Deist.
Hi.
I'm your host, Evan. And we're talking about It's a Wonderful Life. It's July, so what better time to talk about a Christmas classic?
Christmas in July.
I don't know about that.
Wait a second. It's not Christmas at all. So this is directed by Frank Capra, starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and it came out in 1946. Has a whop, man, this has a 8.6 on IMDb. It's one of the highest rated movies. Is it number 25? Wow. So this is a really beloved movie, a Christmas classic, really. It's always on during the holidays. Tim, what did you think about this movie?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is Matt suggested I make my own 100 list of, you know, my personal favorite movies, and I've been doing it slowly. It's been easy, but I haven't made a full list. I keep adding movies I think about, and some of them are movies that are never going to be on anybody else's list. But movies I like.
Like The Happening?
No, I didn't. Yeah, good point.
Did you say you like The Happening?
I love that.
Yeah. But I added this to my list.
Ooh.
So there you go. There's my first impression.
Spoilers.
All right.
Exactly. I don't think anybody could have done this better than James Stewart. And I realized I think of him a little older. I mean, he wasn't old yet, but I think of him in the 50s and all those Hitchcock movies. I already changed the subject a little bit, my general impression, but something, a line in the movie where the guy says, "You were born old." Yeah. It was like, that's Jimmy Stewart. It's hard to tell his age whenever. He's pretty young in this movie,
he's
isn't
like
he?
40 when he was about to go to college.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so confused.
I was thinking about that. Yeah. I wonder how old he was during this movie.
I want to say
46.
Maybe he was in his 40s.
I assumed he was like 40s, but I did not look that up.
One of these special feature things I was watching, I want to say it was early 90s, and I thought he was in his 80s.
So he was born 1908, and this came out 1946. So he was not even 40.
Oh, wow.
38?
I would have said he was younger than that, though.
I didn't think, when I was watching it, I couldn't figure out how old they were supposed to be at the beginning of the movie. I was like, wait, okay, his brother's going to college. They're going to a high school party. Mm. Is it his high school party? He does not look like he's in high school. Yeah,
there were no high schoolers. Yeah,
I'm so confused.
I was just thinking he was supposed to be 4 or 5 years older than his brother, who was 18. But remember Mr. Potter says, what are you, 27, 28 at some point?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, everyone is constantly calling him like old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he was supposed to be younger than that, like, but everyone just thought he was older.
And he wouldn't be over 30, and it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, I didn't. No. Well, then he asked Mary how old she was, and she was like,
she was 18.
Which was like supposed to be like young, and so I was like, wait, how old are you?
She's his brother's age, right?
Matt, if you had to sum up this movie, what is it about?
Pressure's on.
Pressure's on.
Yeah.
Not a Gabby summary.
Yeah, no, that's not a summary. That's point by point.
I feel like you should
down.
Have given him a heads up before you just said, summarize this movie.
I just don't want to do it.
I have a hard time calling it a Christmas movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's really not Christmas until like the last 20 minutes. Yeah,
there are
true.
So many Christmas movies like that, though. You realize that, right?
Like, Die Hard, it's Christmas the whole time.
I was thinking that. There's such a huge contention about Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. It's like, well, if this is a Christmas movie, Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You want me to give it a shot?
It's the life of a man summed up in 20 minutes at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Basically, it starts out with these angels, and they realize that George Bailey, Jimmy Stewart, is in trouble and he needs help. And so to give the angels some background on the situation, they go through basically his whole life.
Hour and a half of story.
Backstory.
Give him a lot of backstory to see how he got to this point. In the end, basically teaches him that he does have a wonderful life.
Don't forget, at the very beginning, all those people were praying for him. That's why they were on the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were on there because he is, everybody likes him and thinks he's great, but he doesn't. Yeah. I keep thinking of that corny 80s hair band song, "Don't Know What You Got till It's Gone."
Oh, jeez. Don't
know what you got till it's gone. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad because he doesn't get to do what he wanted to do at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wants to go travel the world, and he has all these aspirations.
It's like Up.
But he felt so responsible for the well-being of the town, really.
Which is honorable. I commend him for that. I felt bad for him, but in the end... It's like you look out for your friends. Your friends should look out for you, or they will look out for you. Yeah.
He didn't even get to travel during World War II.
The war broke out, and he was still trapped in the city. Yeah,
collecting tires.
In a weird way, it was almost like almost like a reverse Christmas Carol. If that makes any sense.
I was definitely thinking a Christmas Carol. It's got the whole ghosty thing, and he goes to the graveyard and stuff.
Yeah, right.
That is kind of true, though. Rather than being like totally hated by everybody, he was like loved by everybody, but he hated himself.
Yeah.
So I'll say
it's true.
A different iteration, because a reverse Christmas Carol would be somebody who's super nice that turns into a Scrooge.
Yeah.
He kind of did.
A little bit.
He got mad at his kids. He threw the stuff. He was going to jump off a bridge.
Yeah, he apologized for all
that.
He went a little
Scroogey.
It's Jimmy Stewart.
He really was like the inverse of Scrooge, where it's like, no, Scrooge, you have had a terrible life and you need to fix it. And then this angel's like, no, Jimmy, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Everybody in this town like owes you, basically.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And...
That was one of my favorite parts when he goes all Scroogey. Yeah. Comes in, fuck these kids. Look at some goddamn kids. His house blows.
Will you stop playing that? Will you stop playing that?
I was like, oh, he's snapping. He's snapping.
I didn't like that. I don't like people yelling at kids. That makes me feel bad.
I mean, if the movie ended there, I wouldn't like
it. They were kid actors. That's different.
They were actors.
Yeah, they're used to.
Those weren't actually
kids.
They
were actually 28.
They were 21. Yeah, those guys were just a couple really years short. Younger than Jimmy.
My other problem with the movie, speaking of ages, is that the old people in the movie never got any older.
Except for
like
Potter.
The young
Potter
people.
No, he just got a wheelchair.
He was in a wheelchair in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he was.
But he never got old. Like, I was like, dude, you should be like barely alive by now. Like, if that much time has passed, like only like Mary and like George's characters like got older.
But
like,
I don't think it's supposed to have been that much time. My impression was it hasn't been that much time. We were just talking about that before we started.
I don't know, at least
he popped out like five kids.
That's true. Yeah,
plus, like, they were married for like a couple years, maybe. Like, it's been a while.
Those kids were at least
his brother went to college.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. Yeah.
There was a war.
There was a war.
Yeah,
but
it started
even
in the 20s, didn't it?
See, I'm telling you,
time.
The old people should have gotten, like, even the store owner that he worked
he
for
a
as a kid.
Man.
I was like, that guy should be, like, in his grave.
So I've seen, I think we've all seen this movie at some point, but I was surprised, like, I haven't seen it in a while, and I forgot, like, how much of it is just the backstory of,
like, all
Jimmy's
of
life.
75%
George Bailey's life, yeah. It's really just like the last 20 minutes where he sees what the town is like without him.
I was so, like, when it got to the bridge scene, I paused it because I felt it's been a while. I thought this movie was
good. I've been watching this a long time.
And I saw there was something like, 30 minutes left?
Was it 30 minutes?
This is only going to be like 20 minutes of him going around in this alternate universe, and then the rest is...
That's all he can handle,
and
man.
That's, yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my entire memory of the movie. I remember if I had to put a time frame on kind of the story events before I watched it, I would say 20 minutes to the backstory, the rest is him going around, and then, you know, another 20 minutes for everything to wrap up. And boy, I would have been way wrong.
I think I read there was like three different scripts that they melded together, so maybe that's why. Three different writes.
I did not read that.
And Capra did the final write.
It kind of felt like that, but
something
I hadn't
like
heard
that.
Because the angels, the angels don't even come into play
yeah.
until the Back to the Future 2 scene.
Yeah. What happens if he gets like shot in that alternate thing?
I was wondering.
It seemed like there was some tension around it.
I was trying to figure out, because it's been so long. I was probably a little kid when I watched this last, like in earnest. And I was trying to remember, does he get shot and killed in the alternate reality and then wake up on the bridge?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
That would have been cool.
Frank Capra isn't all about darkness. So if it was, I don't think they wanted too much of that.
Yeah.
It would have been definitely interesting.
Even though all the other stuff was really long and it took so long to get to the point where he's on the bridge and he's like, you kind of like have to have it so that when you get the payoff at the end of all the people like coming and helping him, it makes sense. Like you're like,
totally agree.
Totally makes sense that they would come in and like totally band together and help him and all that. But it does feel really long. And I even texted a friend while I was watching it and I was like, oh my gosh, he still hasn't even wished that he was never born. Like when does this happen?
I'm still happy-go-lucky.
I remember this movie being long, but not this long.
I watched it in two halves. I watched it in two nights.
Split it up. Where did you put your intermission?
Yeah, where was it? I forget. It was roughly an hour.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the intermission. Maybe when the whole montage of him popping out kids or his wife popping out.
You could probably do it like right before it cuts to the scene where like the Italian man is moving into his house, like wherever, whatever ends, like right before then, like the bank scene maybe or something. And then like when it.
I can't remember now. And I wonder, the other thing about the darkness part. Is I wonder if at the time, do people want to see Jimmy Stewart be a total jerk the whole time? Because I don't think he was. I saw one movie that was older than this, actually recently. It was those Thin Man movies. I think those are in the 30s, and he was a villain in that.
Huh.
And I don't remember ever seeing him anything else where he's a villain.
Do we see that the lady that played Mary, was she in a Thin Man movie? Did we look that up earlier?
I looked at her filmography, and I didn't see anything that was like recognizable. Hmm. Do you know what she's from?
The most famous thing, she's from the 50s, I think. She had the Donna Reed show.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
And it was like, because I think they've spoofed that. It's almost like Leave It to Beaver type thing, I believe. I never watched the Donna Reed. But I think it's that kind of thing in the 50s. Everything's perfect. And she's, But I thought she was great in this.
Yeah, she is beautiful.
The romantic scenes were really,
really a lot of dishes.
I got to commend her. She was persistent too. Like she did not give up, even if he didn't like her. Like
right at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna love you until the day I die. I was
listening to another podcast, Unspooled, from Paul Scheer, and there he was talking about like a crazy theory where. She's actually like a witch, and she
hexed him at that moment.
Put a spell on him that where he wouldn't be able to leave the town, and he would have to.
Wow, that's a whole different life.
Apparently, this movie was a flop when it was released in theaters.
Yeah,
and now it's like probably
it's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic, Christmas movie.
Thanks to the copyright lapsing.
Yeah,
yeah, because what happened was the copyright lapsed. I can't remember which network it was. They needed stuff to play for Christmas. And so they started playing It's a Wonderful Life for Christmas because they're like, it's free. We can fucking play it as long as we want. And then that kind of just got drilled into the brains of a few generations as a Christmas movie. I think Capra even said he didn't envision this as a Christmas movie at all. It just happened to take place. The end happened to take place at Christmas.
And I'd read another blurb that was interesting too. Is they're saying if they postponed it till 47, that probably would have, they figured it would have been a bigger hit because there's a bunch of movies. The only one I remember was The Best Days of Our Lives. But it won all these Academy Awards. The Wonderful Life got nominated for like 5 Academy Awards. It lost everything to this other movie. Best Years of Our Lives. That's what it's called.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Huh. And nobody thinks about that movie now, but it won all these Academy Awards then because it was just post-World War II. And there was a couple of the big movies they were saying if it had been postponed, maybe a little bit later, the only other movie was Miracle on 34th Street, which was another huge, see that all the time on TV too. Mm-hmm. But they figured it probably would have done better box office. It wasn't a bomb. I've had these kind of conversations with Matt about this.
Are you talking about?
It was just like a break even type. It was a little below.
I don't know. I did read a blurb that he was in the hole like $500,000 because of this movie for his. So he had a lot of trouble financing. Yeah, well, yeah.
Just a little chunk change.
That's a drop in the bucket for me.
Yeah. Oh man.
Lunch budget.
Rubbing out the bulge in Spider-Man's costume. That's what that is. But.
Are you talking about The Best Years of Our Lives?
Best Years of Our Lives.
All right, so that won a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it was up against that.
Won 7 Oscars.
Yeah.
it's been built up for me now. I'm expecting this movie where the guy gets great. His arm chopped off and then auctioned off.
In real life, he sold his Oscar.
I thought you were going to say in real life he sold his arm.
Like, I got really excited.
And I was like, wait.
And he used the Oscar as his arm.
Clicks it in.
Come on, guy.
Both his hands were burnt off. Okay.
Wow. Is there
no arm?
What, you
no
said
hands.
This movie came out in 1940 something?
46.
46. Did Jimmy Stewart serve in the military? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did? Okay.
Yeah, both him, I think him and Capra, right?
Because I was curious, because I know like John Wayne didn't actually serve in the military. He was just in the movies. So I was wondering if that was a Jimmy Stewart thing.
I know Jimmy Stewart did, because he had kind of come back fresh.
And they do a lot of USO stuff. They were entertainers that
rose to the rank of colonel.
Oh, hey.
Colonel Stewart. Yeah.
Way to go, Jimmy.
Jimmy. I feel like this is like the iconic Jimmy Stewart movie. When I think Jimmy Stewart, I feel like I think of this movie.
It's either this or Harvey for me.
Oh, Harvey. I forgot about Harvey.
This is not the movie that I think of when I
think
Jimmy Stewart.
What do you
Stewart.
Think
like
of?
There's a different movie, but I have
but
to
you
like,
can't
see
think
the
of
list.
Mr. Stewart Goes to Washington.
Vertigo?
Mrs. Smith Goes to Washington. That's the movie that I was thinking of when I was watching this. I was like, is that the guy from that movie?
That's him. That's
but
Jimmy
not,
Stewart.
Not,
he looks just like him.
It's just like him.
I think of the Hitchcock movies.
Yeah, he's in, yeah.
Yeah, I'd Vertigo. Say Rear Window is a big one for me. Yeah. I'd say for most everybody, this is probably the quintessential Jimmy Stewart movie.
Yeah.
But
it's seen more than anything. It's got to be seen more than anything else. You flip by in December, it's on. And he's great in it, too, though.
He's really
you
good
really
in it.
You really feel bad for him. I thought all the romantic... I started this when you guys were talking, and I stopped because it's not the point of the movie, but I think the romantic scenes were really heartfelt.
I thought the phone scene, that was pretty steamy.
Yeah. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah,
I was like, I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable right now.
Yeah. The guy's just talking to him and hears him making out on the
Yeah, his friend Sam was like strangely okay. There was like no hard feelings after
yeah, but
that.
Like it seemed like a good guy. There was like a girl behind him putting her arm around him. Like he was kind of sleazy.
They were pretty good at kind of setting up that he was kind of a philanderer.
That's what I was trying to say.
He was a playboy. That was very clear. So she was just going to be another notch in the old belt.
Did you guys have a favorite scene in this movie?
I for some reason really like the part when they come back after the swimming pool. By the way, the swimming pool is the part that I remember from watching it when I was really little, like the floor opening up. Mm-hmm. Even though it was a little trippy to watch in color because I remember it in black and white, and I was like, this is weird. It feels like a newer movie when it's in color. But I really liked when she has to go hide in the bush because he stepped on her bathrobe thing and it comes off and he's just circling the bush, like trying to like convince her to tell him what her secret was. Like, I was like, you're a little bit of a jerk right now, but it's also kind of funny just because he's like, I could call the firemen, but well, they'd be on my side. And
I could sell tickets.
Yeah. I got a kick out of that part.
That one, I was wondering if it was made today. I'm like, I bet they would floor that. They would. Right? They'd
leave that on there. There was a lot of stuff that I was like, what's this?
I actually really like the stuff before Jimmy Stewart with the little kid. That awful druggist was just slapping him across the. I mean, that was great.
Yeah.
That was a great scene, though.
Yeah.
And I read, and I don't know if this is true because it was, I think it was kind of a rumor, but there was a strong rumor that his ear was actually bleeding.
Oh.
Because the guy hit him on the head a bunch of times when they were filming the scene. I don't know. Wow. They couldn't verify. They said later that was whatever. I mean, that might have been Wikipedia.
Actually, made the poor kid's ear bleed out.
I mean, I believe it.
He hit.
Yeah, it didn't look like fake hits.
No.
It looked really. I mean,
slapping the shit out of him.
Yeah.
My favorite was probably off the rails. George Bailey, where he's
railing on his
about
kids,
shit,
where
railing on his kids, railing on
he's
his
just
house.
Lost it, and
he tells the teacher off.
Yeah,
tells the teacher off.
Starts telling off her husband. No, now I can tell you what I think about your wife. I enjoyed that, especially because everything before that, he's such a nice, reasonable guy, and then that's the thing that snaps him, and he turns on a dime, and he plays it off really well.
I had a problem with some of his kind of like slow to catch on to certain things, especially when he's like in the world where he doesn't he was never born. Like, I was like, dude, why aren't you figuring this out right now? Like, come on. Let's get going here.
His fool uncle.
Yeah, with all the animals.
Oh, that was weird.
That was an odd touch that I liked.
Yeah.
But
the squirrel gives him a hug.
The squirrel hug.
Squirrel hug.
Because he's always got the crow in the loan office.
And then when he's crying because he lost the money, the squirrel crawls up on his arm, gives him a hug.
There was something about the crow, too. I read something that was in another Frank Capra movie or something, that same crow.
Is it actually his crow? Yeah.
Capra crow. That crow's doing work.
It made sense to me a little bit more when he's in the alternate universe where his uncle went insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or at least got committed to the asylum. Because I was like, okay, because he's got all the animals and everybody's thinking that he's just wacko.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that he necessarily was actually crazy, but I bet everybody thought that he was.
Yeah, I feel that Potter probably played a role in that.
The guy that never died.
And by the way,
I wanted some comeappance at the
end. I was like, you need to die.
Rotten guy stole the money.
He gets off. He's
got
free.
I know.
He is.
Did they ever find out that he took it?
Yeah.
Mustache twirling villainous. Yeah.
But that's one of the Barrymores.
I was wondering that. Yes. Is that Drew Barrymore's uncle or
great-grandpa or something? Yeah, great-uncle probably.
Evil Uncle Drew Barrymore.
He was like in the 1800s. I was reading a blurb. He started theater like in the 1800s.
Oh, wow.
Late 1800s. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So he was old in this movie and in the story. Yeah. And he should have been dead by the end.
Have you seen the SNL skit where they show like the alternate ending or whatever?
No, I didn't.
Where, need to watch this.
Where it popped up on my YouTube though after
where they find out who actually that he took the money and they just like go to his place with like pitchforks and torches and just beat the shit out of him.
I gotta check that out because that's the ending you want.
Right?
That's
awesome.
It would kind of ruin the mushy heartfelt ending. It was like, let's go kill that motherfucker.
Just go find out who took my money.
I think it's Dana Carvey too, and he does the impression. What about you, Tim? Do you have a favorite moment in this?
Like I said, the early stuff when they're watching the little kid, he's such a good person. I mean, and especially in his young life.
Yeah, he's such an optimist.
He's
and
such
like
a great. Everybody likes him, you know.
And then that kind of shows his downturn into a cynical.
And it was kind of a lot of cutesy, like the scene where he rescues the angel, and that guy's just staring at him while they're talking this weird talk and finally leaves.
But that was kind of funny. The red-haired guy, if you watch The Color.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, what part?
After the red-haired guy on the bridge, the bridge toll meister or whatever.
Oh, yeah. He like just walks out of the room randomly. I was like, where are you?
Yeah, and then never comes back. So I'm assuming in the world where George Bailey didn't exist, somehow that guy got killed too.
Didn't get his job there. I don't know
what happened to him.
Maybe he was the kid that got poisoned by the pills.
There was some good stuff, like when he tells the guy off several times. When he tells Potter off, when they all decide, hey, look, we're going to keep the savings going as long as you run it. And then later he does the same thing when he's trying to woo him with a cigar and all that stuff.
I did like that. That was cool to see consistency in his character of like always like choosing the hard path rather than the easy path, which I guess is like a cool theme within that movie of like just because something might be easier, it doesn't necessarily mean it's like the right way to go.
He always makes the right choice.
He made the right choice, even though it wasn't always the easy choice because he sacrificed a lot.
He starts
like
yelling to those kids.
Make the right decision until he goes nuts. So
that was the right choice too because it got the angel's attention.
Exactly.
Got people praying for him.
George Bailey works in mysterious ways.
What would George Bailey do?
Well, it was a nice. There was a lot of nice moments. I didn't get teary-eyed too much, but I mean, I was kind of sort of close a couple times.
The end, for sure.
Yeah. What was the nice quote at the end? It was something about
every time the bell rings. Oh wait, no,
not that.
I was going to say, no. George Bailey, don't you know you're the richest man in town?
Yeah.
Well, that was great too. Yeah. But no, the written quote about friends or wife's something like that.
I should have written that down. I thought about it as I was watching. I was like, I should have written that quote down. I liked that. But it was really good.
The end has my favorite quote in the movie, which isn't that. It's the maid coming up and saying, oh, I saved all this money just in case I ever find a man and get divorced.
Yeah.
It's like out of nowhere.
You're like, what? You know, the other scandal we were realizing earlier is, why does George Bailey have kids with blonde hair? Neither of them are blonde.
Donna Reed dyed her hair.
I don't know.
Who was it? Do you think she had like an affair with Potter?
Back in the 1880s, he was blonde.
I think the ending for me is the best.
Oh yeah,
of the whole movie.
That's the B movie. That's always the cover.
When they're
the
all
movie.
Around him and all that stuff.
No, the whole town coming together to save him, and just seeing that he did touch the lives of all these people, and they do care about him. Yeah,
I gotta say that's probably one of the most satisfying payoffs of any movie. Really,
yeah.
That's partially because you have an hour and a half dedicated to setting it all up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like him loaning out small amounts of money to people, and then you know it comes back and you know triple fold or whatever.
He'd been helping the floozy all that time.
Yeah,
the floozy. Oh, yeah.
You can't use that word anymore.
Well, that's what she was.
They were actually her kids. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Probably.
Is this a crime game really situation?
She wasn't really blonde either.
No, she wasn't really blonde either.
No, she dyed her hair.
Everyone's dying their
ever
hair.
Ever since she was a little kid.
Her parents made her.
Is this a Christmas movie?
That's a no from me, dog. Yeah, it has a scene in Christmas.
Yeah.
It has like Christmassy themes.
I guess so.
Like giving.
Yeah, the tone.
Being generous.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Angels.
Yeah. Are angels Christmas?
Yeah. No, necessarily. But yeah. They come up around.
Always, yeah.
On top of the like Christmas tree.
The angel on the top of the tree and hark the herald angels sing.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, all right.
So,
you got me.
They get focused on at Christmas time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I was surprised how little Christmas is in this movie.
I don't think. But the feeling is.
The feeling,
it's
yeah.
warm, fuzzy Christmas.
It really ends on like a great Christmas note. Yeah. But
it does.
I mean, the Christmas feeling for me is when he was yelling at the kids. And stuff.
Oh my gosh.
That was the authentic Christmas scene for
it's
me.
It's a little too close.
That's what Christmas is really like. Yeah. Stress.
I don't know what your guys' Christmas is.
A thought that came through my head as in like the scene when he's sitting on the couch and the kids have the creepy Santa masks. Do you remember that?
Yeah. What? I was like, what are those?
Yeah.
They have creepy Santa masks.
Yeah.
They're all wearing like these creepy Santa masks. And the one kid, the youngest kid, is wearing it and he's like roaring at Jimmy Stewart. And I was wondering if did kids at that point in time realize that the masks were creepy?
No.
As well. Well, that kid seemed to. He's like, yeah, I'm wearing a scary mask, so I'm going to try and
he was roaring at him.
It's like this human skin mask over my face with the eyes cut out.
And also, don't forget Bert and Ernie.
Yes!
That was great.
Oh my gosh, I was like, wait, Bert and Ernie? For real? Bert and Ernie?
The cops were Bert and Ernie,
yeah.
I guess that had just absolutely nothing to do with
it. And I like how their characters like didn't change in like the alternate reality.
No, they were the same.
Like, they were like the same people. Like, everybody else had these really
totally
different
unaffected
lives.
By George Bailey.
And even like Mary playing more of like a timid... what do they call her? An old spinster or something like
the
that?
The worst fate maid. Imaginable. She pursues her career.
She's not married.
A fulfilling career.
Doesn't have a man.
She doesn't have a man.
And he's like horrified.
Yeah, that's what puts him over the edge.
That's it. Everything else didn't convince him.
Yeah, Mary being married, unmarried is...
Would he have been better off if she got married to, like, somebody else? Like, Bert or Ernie?
Yeah, or the plastics guy? I mean, he was...
Or Potter?
Oh, my God.
That probably would
have... Or the druggist?
Yeah.
The druggist. He never dies.
He
doesn't,
If George had never been born, like, technically there could have been somebody else that she liked when she was really little. Like, why did it have to be him? Why did she end up in
they
all
were soulmates.
Problems with that.
At least she
didn't have anybody to cast a spell on.
Yeah. So she just practiced witchcraft in the library.
With her glasses.
Just waiting for a Jimmy Stewart to come along. But he never does.
So then she didn't fall for him. Then she just got freaked out right away. Well, I mean, he was a little bit crazy, but still.
He was a little.
She wasn't so smitten with him then. Come on. Gosh, lady, make up your mind.
That would have been fun if she was just immediately in love with like, this crazy homeless guy. It's like, ooh, you can come back to the library with me. This isn't so bad after all.
Oh, I'll stay here. embarrassed to watch me. The angel's like, no! I screwed up! Oh, this movie just took a turn.
That's the weird sci-fi version.
Yeah, he earns his horns instead of his wings. Oh,
yeah. That's not happy. Yeah,
no. That'll be for the remake that eventually will come out.
I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been one.
There was talk of a sequel.
I read that. Oh. That was a weird recent, right? Is up to like the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah,
ago.
The date I saw was like early 2000s. Yeah. And then I can't remember. Is it Paramount that owns the rights to this?
Yeah.
They came out and they were like, this is not happening. Don't worry, people.
Yeah, it has something to do with the daughter, the youngest daughter.
I didn't read the plot
or something.
But I feel like the plot would not.
I don't think that's it would work.
Where do you take that story?
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is if it were just a full-on revenge movie where they try to
where they take down Potter's family.
I always thought they should do that in Gilligan's Island. Have a sequel where they go and hunt down all the people who left him on the island.
Oh, man.
It's a lot of celebrity cameos. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting, though, how we, like, they'll remake these movies that don't need to be remade? Like, they're only, like, maybe 5, 10 years old. But then there's these really old movies that it's like, no, you can't touch them. Like,
this movie would never be successful if they remade it because it's too ingrained. It's like remaking the original Wizard of Oz.
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But there's some other movies that's kind of like, why don't you remake that one?
A lot of
like,
the bad ones.
They can make them
the
better.
The bad ones, yeah. But make them better.
I would like to see a remake to this just to see how bad, like, how wrong they could get it.
They were saying they've remade it. Remember, they've kind of sort of, they remade the original book. They made some TV movies and stuff. And they made some kind of variations of it, but
you just I mean, aspects of it have been like done, like the whole when he comes back and he's like, "Oh, I'm back," and all that. Like that was hearkening to like A Christmas Carol or just a million other movies where they forget or they've been transported to some other time where they didn't exist or they, you know, these things didn't happen and like that whole same like I'm back kind of thing. I was like, okay, so many movies have taken this idea, but not the actual.
I couldn't place because you're right. There were so many movies that have taken that. Shades of that. I couldn't pinpoint one movie, but I know it's you've seen
when
it.
He like, goes to Potterville. That's Nicholas straight King. Up Back to the Future.
Oh, right,
too.
Right.
Yeah,
Ever, like it's almost like beat for beat.
Yeah,
when he's going
true.
Through like Biff Town.
Oh, and the future got screwed up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it, and even the grave and Doc going to getting committed to the insane asylum.
Yeah.
There's so many beats that it's like, man, they just basically just took all this from a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, isn't there like is a Nicolas Cage movie where he like wakes up and he has a whole family and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Family Man.
Yeah. That's kind of reverse-ish, but like.
That one's because
the
alternate
of,
universe is what if he had gotten with Tay Leone.
And the other one was.
That was eye roll.
I never saw it, but they said, blurb I was reading said Click was a big rip-off.
Yeah.
I never really
too.
Saw that, so.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we can all agree that was much more successful with that. Yeah.
In 40 years, it's going to be. Yeah.
What's the copyright
now, will be a classic.
Who plays George Bailey in the remake?
Adam Sandler.
No. Tom Hanks would have.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think maybe
he's probably the only
Now they can have Tom Hanks' kid play the remake.
Maybe
Colin Hanks. Maybe
I think
Norton.
Even he's too old now.
Edward Norton, maybe?
Edward Norton?
I don't think he's likable enough.
The Rock.
Be innocent.
And have to be The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Oh,
he's like the most likable guy right
John
now.
John Krasinski.
Oh.
You guys know it's true.
That's not bad.
Right? And his wife could play Mary. They'd just be in another movie
it's
together.
It's just the author.
Emily Blunt?
Yes.
I was thinking Pam.
No.
It would be interesting if Pam was his wife and Emily Blunt was the floozy.
Oh.
I know I'm going to get groans, but like Jack Black or something like that.
What?
Or that's, John Goodman at one point. He's too old too now. But
John Goodman. That I would watch that.
I don't know if Krasinski is like enthusiastic enough.
To play.
Yeah.
Staring
he's got to be.
True. I think
he's got to be kind of. Tom Hanks would
have
been.
He's the new Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, basically.
Clear choice for sure.
But he's too old
He's
now.
Too old now.
Well, they could just do the same thing they did in this movie.
Chris Pratt?
I don't think he'd be
Bradley
cast.
Cooper. I don't know. I'm just trying
Bradley.
To
you're just saying names now.
Bradley.
Bradley Cooper.
Who are the younger actors now?
Zac Efron.
I mean, maybe Tobey Maguire. Maybe
he's too old now.
He's old now. I was thinking about all the Spider-Mans.
I guess they kind of wanted Cary Grant for.
Oh, that would be a different.
Oh, be a totally different movie.
And the other one I read, Henry Fonda. That would have been good.
There were friends. Be weird.
I could see that more.
Yeah.
Cary Grant, I don't think nobody can pull off the kind of innocent puppy dog face the way that James Stewart can.
And like his dad said, you were born old. I mean, he just, there's nobody like that guy. The way he talks and delivers his lines.
What's what I'm saying? Tom Hanks would be good for it now because he's like, you know, whatever, 80, and they can just say Falcon.
I forgot to close that.
It's the Capricorn.
It's the bird from the movie.
I mean, there's going to be a remake at some point.
Oh, no.
I think it's going to, I think probably in like 20 years, they're going to have to wait another generation. But
yeah, when no one knows what It's a Wonderful Life is.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
He'll come back.
He would, I think he would, I can't imagine him doing it now, but I'm sure after whatever research that he would need to do.
I want to see him as just like a happy-go-lucky dude.
It's a different angle. What about Ricky Gervais or something like that?
Yeah, it's
Ricky Gervais, I feel like he would play Potter.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be a bad guy.
He seems like a jerk.
Or even the crazy uncle.
He seems like a really mean.
If you cast somebody else in this, it just becomes a different movie.
Ooh, Keanu Reeves.
He's
so likable.
I just think it's a movie
that's too likable. That's probably, that might be a good choice.
He's so likable.
It's just not a movie that you should remake.
Jimmy Fallon. No, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who.
Gross.
I guess.
Hey, maybe Tom Hanks' son.
That's what I said.
We already said that.
Oh, we've already
now we're going in circles.
We
were caught
in the loop.
We're caught in the Hanks loop.
I was listening for a bell.
We're calling out a Hanks loop.
We can't get out.
It's so pleasant.
I don't know.
I vote for no sequel.
Or remake.
Well, yeah.
I think 99.9% of the world does too.
Terrible.
Yeah, there is only, even from the filmmaking aspect, everything's pretty timeless in this. There was only one scene where I was like, man, I wish they could have redone that. Just when the uncle loses the money and he's explaining to Potter about George's brother. There's all these jump cuts. It looks like a YouTube video.
Yeah, it's very weirdly
clearly different takes. They're clearly cutting from different takes without like cutting away, and it was really jarring. I had to watch that twice because it just seemed so weird.
I was like, whoa, something weird just happened there.
I'm assuming it's just they couldn't reshoot it. They had to pick apart two or more takes, and they just couldn't. They didn't have anything to cut to, I guess.
There's a couple things though in that movie that I would not translate over well to like now. Like, I mean, a lot of it feels timeless, but like, I mean, they have a slave working in their house technically.
It's
like
the help.
The black help.
Yeah, come on.
The help, but yeah, just like
the sassy help.
A couple, you know, things like that are just kind of like, yay.
Yeah, I think the only, because I was looking for that, because it's just like, you know, it's just the world we live in. I'm like, which parts could I pick apart and put on like babe.net or something?
Yeah.
And it was really just, it was the help, kind of the bush scene a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then just his wife's horrifying fate. Those are the only
three. Yeah. I'm not being married. That would not translate over well at all.
Other than that,
I feel like with a different actor, the bush scene would be maybe a little questionable, but I think Jimmy Stewart kind of pulls it off.
Like with the Buffalo Bill actor.
Ted Levine.
Yeah, Ted Levine.
Oh, boy.
It's not as bad as like John Wayne and like McClintock stuff or like A Quiet Man. Like that, there's stuff in that movie that would never fly.
Yeah.
I think almost, I can't think of anybody, even Cary Grant, I think it would just turn over into creep.
Yeah.
Creep factor with the bush scene. Cary Grant could maybe pull it off because he's dashing.
Put the robe in the basket.
Oh, boy.
Throws lotion in the bush.
Precious.
AFI, American Film Institute, says this is the most inspirational movie of all time.
I found the quote, by the way, at the end.
What's the quote?
It says, remember, no man.
We'll just ignore my fact.
You what?
Fuck AFI.
Oh, you knew your AFI thing. Well, it's an inspirational quote. It's
What's your inspirational quote?
This is why
quote?
It's inspirational. Okay. Remember, no man is a failure who has friends.
There it is.
Aww. That was great.
See, inspirational.
Oh, it fit the movie. I mean, the great punctuation of the movie.
Yeah.
The end of this movie is really good.
Yeah, then it's very satisfying.
It's very feel good. But what? Minus what?
Minus just the, not bludgeoning Potter.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's assumed.
Not going to be the bad guy.
Yeah. Assume they just burned him alive in his chair.
Yeah.
Well, it's his ultimate failure. That guy failed after all these people bailed him out.
Maybe he finally left town after that. Maybe he had a heart attack because
It's a wonderful life.
It's a wonderful death.
Yeah. Better.
It's a wonderful life. It's a better death.
Only good Potter's a dead Potter.
Buried in a Potter's field.
That's just another tidbit that I just remembered. Kind of goes with the inspiring thing. I guess this movie was kind of considered communist propaganda by some people.
Why?
How so?
It was during that red period. And it has a lot to do with the whole town coming together and sharing all their money. Yeah. And
everybody who has money is evil.
Capitalists are evil.
I don't think people.
It was a stretch. It's the first time I've heard it, but I guess it was his legit claim against the movie.
How many years did they think anything was?
Yeah, I feel like the whole people that have a lot of money are bad guys. It was a theme in a lot of those older movies.
True. I mean, that's still
even today. Yeah, it's always the people with all the money are evil people.
Many. But
I'm so rich, I'm evil.
His friend bailed him out. I mean, he had tons of money.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
He was a good dude.
The
rich playboy friend.
Yeah, you never really saw him in the movie that much. Just,
yeah, you see him for a second, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, if you need $300,000,
I'm worried $25,000. You're like, what? That was a lot of money back then too. Yeah, people like, I just need $20 to survive. I'm like, man, I wish I could.
Yeah, $17.50.
Yeah, right. Jeez. Oh, inspirational. You said the inspiration.
Yes.
I need some time because I bet you we could come up with a lot of movies.
I'm trying to even think of any other what I would call inspirational movies, really.
Paddington.
Of course.
Not really.
That's inspired.
Shawshank?
What about more? Wouldn't a better term be feel good movie?
Rocky?
Rocky's
inspirational.
Inspirational.
Yeah, this is a real good feel good
movie.
What's it inspiring you to do? It's more of
help your fellow man, and then they'll bail you out later.
It's better to have a lot of sincere friends than a lot of
that's
money.
Why people do it. Yeah, that's the monetary value of friends.
Yeah. Make sure you have friends that have money.
Yeah, absolutely. Small loans, and then they'll give you big loans. Yeah. That's usually how it works.
Your plastic friends.
Your plastic,
make sure you have friends in high places, but not those evil places.
Yeah, not the evil high places. Yeah. Not the kind where they're drinking blood and stuff.
That is kind of a double standard. They have the one evil rich guy and then the one good rich guy. So it's is having a lot of money a bad thing? I don't know.
Well, the evil rich guy's in the rural town too, and the rich guy in the city, he's good. So the Wall Street guys and the plastic guys are good, but the rich people in the small towns, those guys are the evil ones.
He's just disgruntled. He wants more. Is
I think
that
it's ageist.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. He just had a personal he's definitely vendetta. Not,
what, I guess it does kind of rail on old people a little bit. Yeah. Because you got the old guy.
But his dad was nice and he was an old guy.
Well, yeah, he died.
He was old, but he died.
I mean, most, besides beating on the kid, you better get dead or you better.
Well, he would have killed that other kid.
And if you think about it, I guess
child slaughter.
He worked himself to death.
Yeah.
That's true. Just like Animal Farm.
Well, but he had the chipper attitude where he was helping out the community by staying in the small little office. I guess it kind of inspires you. It's keep your head down and do your work because it's better for the community. Even if you want to go travel, fuck that.
Yeah.
National Geographic.
Or again, it's
similar to Ikiru.
Yeah, I was definitely getting some Ikiru vibes.
Do you like this better than Ikiru?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like it better.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
because you get this is more satisfying
this
at
more
the end.
Satisfying. 100%. I think
if Ikiru had an ending like this, I would have been more on board.
The ending's better in this, definitely.
I'll say the cinematography in Ikiru was way better.
I think Ikiru is a better made movie.
Mm.
Yeah, you guys have any other burning thoughts you want to get off your chest about It's a Wonderful Life?
I really liked watching. I'm glad I watched it again because I don't watch it in the Christmas time. No. It's always on. It's one of those movies that's always on. I watched it a couple years for the first time in a really long time. Watching it outside of Christmas was kind of fun.
I really liked watching it in color. Like, that was cool because it kind of modernized it in, I mean, it's intended to modernize it, I guess, but it's like so much of those movies are in black and white and it's kind of hard to fill in the gaps of what, like, you know, we always joke about how like that era was actually a black and white, but you're like, no, it's really in color. Like, even seeing like war films or like actual footage from wars, it just makes it feel more like real. Yeah, it just is kind of a weird way of like, adding this weird realism to it that it seems more recent when it's in color. And suddenly it didn't feel like the super old movie. Like, I was trying to figure out when I was watching it. I was like, what year was this? Because it just felt so much newer when it was done in color. And the color was done really well. Like,
I thought so.
I was kind of sitting there trying to figure out, like, how do they do this? Like,
so many years it was terrible. Colorization was so bad.
Yeah, it's like clearly like crayoned on. Or something. I was looking for that when I watched the colorized version.
And I was
looking
for that too. And I didn't notice it. Like, unless only in like the night scenes, like when it was in the snow, like there was a few moments where I was like, I don't even know if they actually colored anything. Like, it seemed very like black and white suddenly, which makes sense because it's dark and you can't actually see color in the dark. But like, other than that, like I was kind of looking for it. Like, I was kind of looking for like weird, like blurriness or just like strange coloring, but it seemed like they did a really good job.
I feel like the only two scenes where I felt like I kind of saw like where they colored outside of the lines was the sled. I felt almost looked animated with the color. The very first scene when they're sledding down, just a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't.
And then also after he jumps into the river with the flashing light. The flashing light reminded me, you know how like they have the flashing lights in like Tim Burton's Batman and they look like cartoons. It looked like that to me. Those are the only two things though. Everything else was pretty spot on, I thought. Sometimes the skin tones were a little weirdish, but it wasn't.
I mean, that to me, that was a little bit more like forgivable in the sense of like, I knew it was an old movie and it wasn't going to always translate over like super clear and crisp. But I mean, I was watching it on a larger TV that it seemed like it was really clear. So,
and I think they did that in the early 90s. So they could probably do it again and make it that much bit more accurate. I think the last time it was color is life. I remember when I read, the first time it was actually digitally done or by computer or something of that nature.
I feel like there would be some pushback to another colorization of but I would be 100% down.
It
will be done well. Like, that's
all the islands.
That's what they should do. Just recolor it really, really nice and then re-release it rather than remake it.
You need to save your 1990s colorized version because that'll be worth something. That'll be my colored version.
Where you go through every frame with some Crayolas.
Yeah.
Some markers. Pastels.
But yeah, I need to watch the black and white version to really have a full opinion on the color one, because that's especially since in my mind's eye I remember always watching it in color. I don't know if I actually did. It might have just been my stupid child brain as opposed to my stupid adult brain.
I only saw it in black and white. I know I only saw it in black and white because as a kid, I was like, what is this old movie? Like, it's in black and white and I don't understand what's happening. It's really long and really boring.
Sound like a little snob.
Why is the floor opening up? I don't get it.
You sound like George Bailey's kid.
Jeez.
I was probably like 5 years old or something. Come on.
I think it's about time that we make some decisions about this movie.
Pressure's on again.
But first, let's take a break for our sponsors.
This message from our sponsors.
Hi guys, I'm Dean.
And I'm Daniel.
And we're from the IMDb Journey podcast,
where we break down every movie from the top 250 list, giving our own thoughts and reviews and any general discussion along the way.
But when we're not doing that, we also battle other podcasts in various movie-related games of trivia and drafts.
We also give quick reviews about every other film we've watched as well.
Yeah, here we're quite good too.
Yeah, if you guys don't believe us, why don't you listen to these genuine testimonies?
Oh, hey guys, you guys are really good. I love your chemistry.
Oh, hey, Brew. This is a good podcast, yo. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, love the banter, guys. Keep it up.
IMDb Journey is one of my favorite podcasts of all time. Ah, fantastic testimonies.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Absolutely genuine and real. And if you want to give a genuine testimony as well, go ahead and search for IMDb Journey. You can find us on all your favorite podcast sites, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
So come along and join our journey.
Building the Movie List is brought to you by Michael Johnson. Visit MichaelJohnson.com for all your Michael Johnson needs, probably. He didn't leave us any contact info, so you'll just have to figure it out. Also brought to you by Michelle Melskow. She might have, like, an Etsy or something. I don't know. And new sponsor, Sarah Lynn Daly, arts and entertainment editor for the San Luis Obispo Tribune. Read articles from her and many other fine journalists at sanluisobispo.com. And finally, you can receive an exclusive BTML shoutout by donating $1 or more at anchor.fm/BTML. We'll plug and promote anything, as long as it's not racist. If you're strapped for cash, you can also help out by rating and reviewing us on iTunes. If you'd like to reach out and contact us, check out our Twitter at buildingthelist, or shoot us an email at buildingthemovielist@gmail.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And now it's time to build the list.
Put on your hard hat.
Hammer, 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 hammer.
Foreman words.
We might have to
lift it higher. Hey, now hey, the crane.
Check out them babies.
My overalls got a hole in them.
Oh, God.
I got you guys too excited. Ooh, right? Man, all right.
Construction wise, what do you want? A bit. Easy to rile.
Glad you guys are so passionate about movies. Yeah, so now, this is the whole point of the podcast, is we want to decide what movies are the 100 greatest of all time. And we're going to decide this with a vote. I want a simple yes or no as I say your name and go around the table. And we need 3 yes votes to get it in. Anything else is so sad, too bad. Well, 4 votes works too.
Someone doesn't get to vote.
Yeah.
So I want a simple yes or no. Is this one of the 100 greatest movies of all time? Julia Deist.
Yes.
Tim Smith.
Yes.
Matthew Molina.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
He's so shocked.
I was really shocked.
He's been shocked in silence.
I am really shocked. Okay, yeah, so I'm saying no, but that's
3
fine.
Yeses.
That's
three
in.
Yeses wins.
Wow.
I would like you to explain your no. Yeah. Can you explain the no?
So sad, too bad, huh?
I think the ending of this movie is fantastic, but the rest of the movie is just fine. And like, I think Jimmy Stewart's good, but a lot of the movie I think is like really kind of hokey and cheesy, and it works. And I think it's a good movie. I think it's enjoyable movie. When I'm thinking about the 100 greatest movies of all time, I think this movie has a lot to be desired.
There's a lot of raised eyebrows and head nods.
Really?
Yeah, we're like, we don't know if we can talk to this guy anymore.
You guys had a lot of criticisms of this before. I'm confused.
I think that overall, like, besides like the criticisms that, well, you know, that I've had about the story, it's like little things. But overall, I think the main theme of the story is a really good theme that is inspirational. And I think it has a good, hopeful kind of undertone to it and good lesson at the end.
I mean, there's some dated stuff because it's so old. It's an old movie, and I think that's naturally going to happen.
Yeah, it wasn't there because there's some movies where like the dated really stuff dated. Is like, and this may have been a great movie, but yeah. I don't know. But this is like, it has a couple dated things, but not, it's not overwhelming at all.
There's too many good things in it, like Jimmy Stewart's terrific, and Frank Capra's
Capra-Crow.
Capra-Crow, yeah. There's a lot of good character actors in it. There's a lot of moments that really touched me.
Yeah, all that, like the acting's all really good. And that's what I was saying. That's even why I brought up that one little editing snafu, is that's the only thing that felt like it's like, oh, this is like old movie editing. Everything else was fairly timeless, other than those 3 little social items. Like everything else felt pretty timeless. Like it's like, okay, this is all pretty relatable to modern times still.
Mm-hmm.
All the acting's awesome.
Jimmy Stewart is just always, he's just a pleasure. You
know, I thought Tom Jimmy Hanks Stewart was really good. I don't know about the rest of it.
I didn't feel like anybody was too over the top, because sometimes there are like really over the top actors in old movies.
I mean,
movies.
Maybe the uncle was like a little bit, but he's kind of supposed
to be. I don't know. I felt like he was like, he's just kind of just the right amount of crazy. The only person I kind of thought of was like the floozy. Like she was kind of like, over, yeah. It's like,
but even she was subtle towards the end.
Yeah, when I say that, I mostly mean when she was like a little kid. And she's like, what's wrong with locking tons of boys?
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I was like, that's a little over the top, but also it's a child actor. So it kind of, for me personally, it gets two passes. Not like hard passes, but like too little. It's like, okay, it's a little kid and it's also a little bit of an older movie. But the end is obviously the best part.
Yeah, I would agree.
And even though I did feel the length, I wasn't ever bored. It was just really long.
Yeah.
And part of it was because I was expecting the end way
to
before
be
that.
I think that was part of my problem too, is that
you
I was like, I really thought this was way sooner. But yeah, like you were saying, you just felt like there was a lot of cheese ball moments, but there was also some like really subtle, like nice moments. Like after they were at like the house celebration for that Italian guy, and they kind of have this moment after talking to their rich friend, and he's like, you could have been like super rich and worked with me. And they kind of walk away and they're a little bit like, oh yeah, like there's a lot of opportunities that we missed, but you know, it's trying to stay positive in that. And there was a lot of interesting little like more like serious undertones to
timeless
like, optimism. Like you can be super, super optimistic, but still have, you know, regrets and feel like you didn't actually do what you wanted to do.
But what you're doing is just as important, if not more important.
No man is a failure that has friends. Yeah. He had real friends.
Bitch.
Yeah, real friends.
Yeah, you guys like this movie. I like this movie too. I do think it's one of the best movies I've said no to so far. But I'm kind of torn if I like this better than Ikiru or not. I think Ikiru is like a better made film, or at least like the camera work and everything, I think is.
Yeah, the cinematography for Ikiru is the one kind of clear.
I would say the acting's better in Ikiru.
See, that's a hard. I've said it before. That's foreign films are hard to judge for me because I can't tell if the acting's bad or not.
Aside from Jimmy Stewart's really good. It's just kind of weird like seeing Jimmy Stewart as like an 18-year-old.
That was not quite working.
And like, yeah, the kid actors at the beginning aren't that great. And I know they're kid actors, but like,
so critical.
I thought the main kid was pretty good.
About the 100 greatest movies of all time.
I thought George Bailey was good.
Like, young really George good. Bailey? Yeah. I don't know. He was fine. Yeah. And I don't know. It's a good movie. It's a wonderful movie. And yeah, I'm totally fine with it being in the top 100. Like, honestly, I would probably have it in like, I would definitely have it in like the top 200 easily. But
you're close.
Probably like probably 150, honestly. But yeah, this is the podcast list.
I was going to say, it doesn't have to be at the top of the top 100. It can be at the very bottom if you want
it's
it to
be. It's creeping in there. It's our first 3-vote win.
Whoa.
Really? Oh, are all the other ones unanimous?
Life. Yeah, Pulp Fiction was unanimous, and Monty Python was unanimous.
So three movies that made it to the list.
This is the third.
Oh, wow.
Movie to make it onto the list.
Well, what were the movies? What? So a 40s movie and 90s. What was the other one?
Oh, 70s. Monty Python.
Monty Python. Yeah. So pretty different.
Yeah, it's a lot of
we're
different
all
movies.
Over the place.
I'm surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really just the ending that really puts it over for me, because
did you tear up at the end, Matt?
No, but it felt good. It was a feel good ending that was entirely earned. Whereas a lot of movies will have feel good endings, but you're kind of like, well, that's a little cheap.
It is.
Whereas this, it's like, no, everything is like perfectly set up just by the. You know, that first hour and a half.
You're like, finally, the end is here. And it's paying off literally with money.
With money, too.
And we're kind of like making fun of how long it takes to get to that ending sequence. Mm-hmm. But it really does do the job of setting it up and
really
making you understand how George Bailey got to this moment of desperation.
Yeah.
How he went from this wide-eyed boy that wanted to travel the world to this guy at the end of his rope that thinks he's worth more to everybody dead than alive.
Yeah. See?
It's a beautiful movie. It's a wonderful movie.
It's a wonderful movie. It's a wonderful one. It's
wonderful. There's a lot of wonder.
There's a lot of wonder. That's a different movie. Wonder is a different movie. It's a good
movie. I'm happy with playing it on.
Why'd you say no?
No, I'm happy.
You communist?
Oh, shit.
Well, I guess technically we would all be communists.
We like the movie.
You guys are communists, yeah.
Yeah, you're the capitalist.
That's the capitalist pig. Old movie.
Well, it depends on what you call old.
Well, I mean, Tim. You know, black and white, pre.
I saw this in color.
I did watch
it. I did too.
Colorized.
You said you watched it in black and white?
I watched it in black and white.
I have one more question for everybody.
Oh, I know what it is.
Is this movie better than Paddington? Julia Dice, you've watched half of Paddington.
I can't say yet.
Is it better than the half of Paddington?
You can't decide yet.
No, I said I can't say it because I don't have a full
there's not enough to judge yet. There's a possibility that it isn't.
There's a possibility that it is. No, that's a possibility that it's still better than Paddington.
But also, that also means there's a possibility.
I can't judge it. Right. I haven't finished
Tim Smith,
next
you
time.
Haven't watched Paddington yet.
I've seen it. I saw it at the movies.
Oh, you did?
So I'm going to make, this is the second time I'm going to make.
Wait, I thought you haven't seen Paddington.
I saw it. It's been a long time. I saw it
once. Oh, okay. Well, what's yes or no?
Yes.
This is better
than Paddington. I was going to say, I feel like it should be better than Paddington. I've only seen half the movie, but I still feel like
all
it should
be
better.
Matt.
Well, because Paddington has all the heartwarming stuff in it.
You're a big soft.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life. That's some very heartwarming things.
It does, yeah, too. It does. Paddington's shorter, though.
How many bears from Darkest Peru are in
the top
100? It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, right.
That have a great
that
English
I
accent.
Saw.
Might have been in the opposite.
He might
timeline.
Have been in like one of the war footage scenes. Yeah. Fighting.
Maybe Potter used to be one.
Ooh, maybe, yeah. He's a jaded,
he's a jaded bear
from Darkest Peru.
Don't you dare say a bear from Darkest Peru is Mr. Potter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, this has been a long time, Matt.
This is,
you're going to have to edit out a lot of this.
All the other movies are just so different that it's kind of easier.
Oh,
for me
but
somehow.
This is kind
but
of a similar
because this
thing.
Is similar and that it's like
this
a feel
is the
good.
Modern It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say no.
It's not better than Paddington.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow, okay.
I'm still waiting for this Paddington movie to be really amazing. I'm like, what is it about this movie?
This movie
I'm like sitting there watching it, like, why is it so good?
Is...
Do you think it's better than Paddington?
See, this is funny.
But you voted no.
Because I
so
think this
obviously...
is better than Paddington.
Oh.
I mean, it wasn't a conclusion I came to lightly, Evan.
Maybe you, I think you have Paddington higher than me.
Inner demons.
Yeah. You're going to have to suss that out between now and
I'll bring it up with my therapist. This is like, listen, I just can't decide.
Are you going to have to put
I
this
think
up
it's
against...
a Wonderful Life isn't better than Paddington.
I have to go to like rehab and try and piece things together. Oh, I got to go on like a spirit journey. I don't know. There's a lot that needs to happen before
all
I
right.
can give you a solid, full-on answer.
We'll take some acid.
100%. And then watch Paddington.
And watch Paddington and we'll figure this out.
Yeah.
We'll have Paddington on one screen and It's a Wonderful Life on the other screen.
Oh, wow. And I can
and,
put like a piece of cardboard
divider,
between
yes.
my
yeah,
eyes.
Or, yeah, we get like some tape VR.
Yeah. Yeah, like Clockwork Orange.
We get some VR goggles and one lens will be.
Meld them together.
Yeah, meld.
Yeah.
Paddle meld.
Oh my god.
It's Paddle Paddington.
It's a wonderful Paddington.
It's a wonderful Paddington.
It's a wonderful Paddington.
It's tough. I got that. Yeah.
Can we put Paddington into this movie? What if Paddington?
I think there would be too
is,
much. Too much joy.
No, what if Paddington
was Potter?
Let me get my thought out.
Yeah.
What if Paddington is modern George Bailey and he's in the remake?
He's reincarnated as a bear.
As a bear?
I can see it.
And it just told George Bailey. Yeah. And we see him grow into an old bear.
An old
bear.
Okay. That picture's not working.
No?
Head, but sure.
And he marries a lady.
Yeah, I'm seeing some like Cronenberg fly thing in my head where he's like melded with a bear.
It's not working.
It's like, oh, that's kind of gross. And why would you say that?
We've gone too far.
It's time. Yeah.
It's time.
we got a new movie on the list.
Cool.
It's yeah, a Wonderful yes. Life. Congratulations. You did it.
Every time a bell rings, a movie gets put on the list.
Bing. We need a bell.
The movie list bell.
But yeah, thanks for talking about It's a Wonderful Life with me, guys. It was a great discussion. And yeah, I think we're out.